Hour number two of the DDC, presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason, Willie Donick here with you. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Hope you're having a great start to your Thursday. Let's say hello to J.P. Arencibia, who is color analyst for the Marlins, former big league catcher as well. J.P., how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm on a Robert Trent Jones golf course here outside of D.C., so I'm not playing well, but I'm on a course, so I'm winning.
Okay, well, that's a good day, and we hope that maybe this break can help you reset, and maybe it'll, you know, help your game. That's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, I got a birdie on the par 5 that I was it's embarrassing. I was on the fairway and right up to the green, and too. So, it's, you know what, I'm just rolling with the punches.
So we wanted to have you on because obviously we love our conversations with you, but you saw Freddie Freeman a lot being in the same division, and now you've kind of seen how this has all played out with him going to the Dodgers. He's now fired his agent because he apparently wasn't told about the final offer from the Braves when he had made it pretty clear that he wanted to go back to the Braves. I don't know if it's a uncommon situation that happens sometimes with players, but you can definitely tell that it's awkward now with Freddie Freeman as he is a member of the Dodgers, and you could tell his heart's still in Atlanta. So what are kind of your thoughts on what's happening with Freeman right now?
Well, I mean, it stinks. When you start to talk about it and see how it all unfolded, you know that, you know, as a baseball player or any professional athlete, you put – your full trust in your agent, right? Like, it's something that it almost becomes like an extension of your family. And if you feel like they didn't give you the full honesty, just like you would feel like with your own family, it'd be disappointing. And I think it was awkward. Listen, it was very evident that, yes, he was with Dodger uniform on, but, I mean, everybody, I think, could tell that he was wanting to be with the Braves. And I thought that there was zero chance in the offseason he would be anywhere else but Atlanta. But it's an unfortunate situation, but I'm sure you guys deal with enough athletes. You know, Mason, you know how it is with agents. Sometimes mm-hmm. They don't have your best interest in mind, and it sucks.
Yeah, and that's the tough part, but it's also, I guess, the necessary evil in all of this. Could you see any type of changes just because he's such a high-profile player, or is this just something that players are going to have to deal with moving forward?
Well, I mean, I think that it comes down to, look, there's good agents out there, right? I was represented by CAA my entire baseball career, and I think that they did a good job. I mean, there's reputable guys, but at the end of the day, I think more and more guys are starting to learn to make decisions for themselves and want to be a part of it, because a lot of times they just don't want to be a part of it, right? They're like, I don't want to deal with the business side, just give me what they're thinking or give me the number that they're saying. But I think after this, a lot of guys are going to actually, you know, take more onus and ownership in their career.
J.P. Arencibia is with us, Miami Marlins analyst, former University of Tennessee catcher, big league catcher for a long time. And so, J.P., how would you feel if you were a Dodger player? There was, you know, that's an organization that has been on top. They may be playing the Braves down the road in the postseason again. They've had some battles already along those lines. So how would you take it if you were a teammate of Freddie Freeman's now, watching him go through this?
Honestly, I'd have more respect for him because I think he showed his human side. And a lot of people in this game don't show that. A lot of people in this game, you know, it's all business, and you forget to show the human element, and it shows how much he cares. I don't think they have any doubt of Freddie Freeman as a professional. And when he's on that field, if they were playing against each other, 100% of his loyalty lies with the Los Angeles Dodgers. But, you know, I think if anything, you respect him more because of how much he cares. And that's not something that you see every day. So, I mean, is it awkward in the sense of how he, you know, was reacted to the whole thing? I think you might have a little bit of it, but when you step away, you go, dang, that's kind of cool that this guy actually cares that much.
How do you, before we ask you about your alma mater at Tennessee and the state of the college game, how do you think the Marlins are coming along? I've watched them play a lot. They've got so many young, talented arms. They seem to be making slow and steady progress, but Where do you feel they are right now in achieving their goals?
Well, I think they're close. Honestly, I think the Marlins have, you know, really good pitching. Obviously, their pitching staff is phenomenal. They tried to make some moves this offseason. I mean, but you play in a division where Stephen Cohen says, hey, I don't care what this luxury tax is. I'm going to freaking surpass it. And, you know, the Phillies have open books and the Braves, you know. So it's a tough division to get going on. But regardless, I think that they're definitely on the right direction. But you know what? I'll tell you what. They have a pitcher in Sandy Alcantara that I think right now should be the starter of the All-Star game. And if he I'm sorry, I just hit a three iron short. No big deal. But if he does continue pitching the way he is, I mean, this is a guy who's probably the best arm in baseball, and Pablo Lopez as well. So they have some guys, Trevor Rogers, some good young arms. So it should be fun to watch.
Yeah, Alcantara, I cannot agree more. He is unbelievable. I want to ask you about Tennessee, JP, because people, I think, would be curious to know your perspective as you watch from afar at how their season went. So dominant, pretty unique style of play. So give us your thoughts as you watch them throughout the season.
Well, to answer your question, if I watch from afar, my fiance gives me junk all the time because she's like, you're obsessed. And yes, I am. I watch every game. I follow it closely. I talk to Tony Vitello quite a bit, Frank Anderson. I have a good relationship with all those guys. So I'm very much invested. And it stunk, man. That, honestly, I think that's the best college team that I've ever seen. And I've watched them for a long time. I've played against some good teams, but here's what I try to tell people. Obviously, you have the team already, you know, with Jordan Beck, and you have our born center field who is an absolute animal. But when you see three pitchers from the same staff make the USA national team, which means that most of the time those guys are going to be first-round picks, and that's not talking about Ben Joyce who throws 105 and Tidwell and all that stuff. That just tells you how special their arms are. So it was. I think it's the best team in baseball. I talked to Tony, and I think not only was it the best team, what made him really sad was that it was like, he's like, hey, man, it was a really good group of guys. So that's something that's special. But they're going to be good, man. They have Blake Burke, I think, is like Will Clark 2.0. They got some real good players. And I think the transfer portal, obviously, with Maui coming in, which he has the best name, I think, in college sports in general, that's going to be a huge pickup.
What do you think NIL is doing with the college game, JP? Because it does appear that if you have the ability to utilize that, especially the way you could pick up transfers and things like that, it can be a very, very important tool.
Yeah, you know what? I'm actually against the NIL, and here's my stance on it. First, all the small market teams in the sense of, like, small town teams, Knoxville's going to benefit from it. But I don't like it because being in a union and, you know, being a part of guys that kind of, you know, you make all this money for licensing and then they divvy it evenly for the guy who can't make as much money. What about the guy that's, you know, a defensive lineman or a linebacker that gets his brains beat in every day at practice by the first team and gets no part of that? So I think it's muddied a lot of waters. But listen, Tennessee is a big part of it. I don't like the transfer portal as much. What happens is it's almost become like I can go to any school, have a great year, and put myself in the transfer portal and just see what anybody can kind of give to me. There's almost like no alliance to the university. Like, I love Tennessee because it gave me all the opportunities. I freaking bleed orange because of everything that university gave me, and I think now it's just become like, yeah, I'll go there. It's cool. Let's see what happens, and if I don't like it, then I can just go somewhere else.
We're talking to JP Arencibia. One more for you, and then we'll let you get back to the links. But I know it's early. We're not even to the All-Star break yet, but the Yankees are a buzzsaw right now. Do you feel like that there's anyone that has an answer for them, or could they come back down to earth as the season goes on?
I mean, if they stay healthy, I mean, is it even fair? I mean, honestly, you look at their lineup, and Josh Donaldson is a guy that no one even talks about anymore. So, I mean, that just tells you when you have DJ LeMahieu and all those guys, you only get to really talk about the almost twin towers in the sense of Judge and Stanton. It's nasty, and then obviously their pitching staff. I think it's a team that's going to be at the top, and I also think that at some point we could have a little Subway Series for the World Series, which I think would be awesome for baseball, because watching the New York Mets, man, they're just a good baseball team that's going to give people a lot of trouble.
Yeah, well, we'll see about that, but I think there's a team in Atlanta that can have something to say about that.
I like what you're saying, JP. As a Mets fan, I am rooting for them for sure. Now, JP, I really hope that we haven't made you have like a triple bogey here. I think you should circle this hole during the interview and just make a note on your scorecard that this may have affected your a couple of strokes here.
Listen, I got a Casamigos and soda on the golf cart, and I'm on a golf course. So right now, I can shoot a quadruple bogey, and I'm ready on top right now. So I'm winning.
Yes, you are, my friend. Hey, JP, thanks so much for the time. Hit him straight. We'll do it again soon.
You got it. You guys have a good one.
Thank you. JP Arencibia, former catcher, works with the Florida Marlins, or the Miami Marlins, as an analyst. Joining us from the golf course, and that is the way to spend a June afternoon with a Casamigos and soda.
Hey, there you go.
On the golf course. JP is winning at life right now, so appreciate him. Good
he
stuff.
Does a good job. I've caught him a few times doing the analysis on the Marlins, and they're kind of that outpost. They're kind of that team that's still trying to find the foundation. They've tried to turn it over and come up. They've got a lot of good young players, but they just haven't put it all together yet.
Yeah, and I mean the East, I would say, is a three-horse race right now. I mean, with your Mets, my Braves, and the Phillies. But you never know what might happen down the stretch in Major League Baseball. Coming up next, Willie will set up our question of the day. Finally,
okay,
as you listen to the DDC presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, a York-certified comfort expert company. Schedule now at springhillac.com. We are your racing station, 102.5 and 106.3. The game is Nashville's home for NASCAR. Tune in this Sunday at 1 for the Quick Trip 250 from Road America. You can also join me, Chase McCabe, every Sunday morning at 8 for Chasing Checkers, as I'll talk to some of the drivers. This week we have Ty Dillon and Simon Pagenaud from IndyCar and get you set for race weekend. NASCAR on 102.5 and 106.3. The game is presented by the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. Back here on the DDC, Chase, Derek, Willie, and Elijah Campbell. D-Mac is off for the rest of the week as he is in St. Louis. Appreciate JP Arencibia for joining us to talk a little baseball and the Freddie Freeman situation. And it's interesting. We'll get to our question of the day here in just a second as Elijah's getting a clip together that is going to help set this up. But I thought, okay, this Freddie stuff, he comes back to Atlanta. He's emotional. He gets his ring and all that stuff. And, you know, I gave my thoughts on it of you did it to yourself and yada, yada, yada. And I thought it would go away and be done. Mm-hmm. But it hasn't. There's more layers that keep coming out to it. Now he's fired the agent. The report is that the agent did not tell him about Atlanta's final offer because he knew he would take it and re-sign with the Braves.
That is bad.
Which is BS. I mean, like, if the other part of it is, and one of the tweets I saw is, apparently that stuff happens a lot.
Which doesn't make it right.
No, it doesn't make it right at all, because the agent's job is, I know the agent gets a cut. We all know that, and that's why they do what they do. But the agent's job is to work for the player, and if the player, in this case Freddie Freeman, has said, I want to be back in Atlanta, then you have to respect that decision, even though he got the 6 year and he may have made more going to L.A. He wanted to be with the Braves, and the agent took that decision away from him. So I will step back a little bit, even though Freddie could have he had some control in this. And I think he knows that. And I think he's upset with himself that he let it get to this point. But there are still some things that's just shady business from the agent's point of view. You know, I want to know, if I'm a player, I want to know every offer that's coming my way, and then I will make that decision and do what's best for me and my family.
Yeah, that's to me, there should be, by the PA, at least there should be some type of action taken toward that agent and any other agent that practices, you know, that type of negotiation. Anything that comes across the table and you know I want to be in a particular place, any deal that comes across that table, I need to see as a player. Don't cherry pick, you know, what you think I need to see or what you think I don't need to see. No, if there's a contract on the table, show it to me and let me decide whether it's a good deal for me and not your pocket.
Right.
You know?
You have to do, like, you are working for the player.
Exactly.
Not for you.
And I think some of these agents lose sight of that. They truly do. Because some players just give them, you know, carte blanche to just do whatever they want, you know, and I'm just going to take the deal the agent showed me. No, he needs to show you every deal that comes across the table, whether it's a good deal or a bad deal.
Yeah.
What's ironic about the whole thing is while this is going on, Freddie Freeman is playing pretty well. The Dodgers, despite all kinds of injuries, are still in first place. And the Braves went 21-5 in June. They keep rolling. They've gone from, 9.5 or 10.5 behind the Mets, who have played lights out.
Oh, they're coming.
They've crept
really
all the way back within three games of first place. So they're going to be right there. They've got a lot of good reinforcements. We just saw Gwinnett come through Nashville. I got a chance to see them up close. They've got some reinforcements.
How did Waters
like Eddie
look?
Rosario on the way. You know, they got veterans and youngsters that can fortify. So they have the depth to move forward. It's a really intriguing baseball season from that standpoint. It's going to be great drama, because what very well could happen is you could have the Braves and Dodgers playing in the playoffs again against one another.
I mean, I don't think that's a stretch at all.
Not at all.
That they would have that. And I'll tell you who's been fun to watch.
I'm sure y'all are here for that, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm here.
As long as the Mets get in, D-Mace, I'm here for it.
How about Michael Harris? I mean, Michael Harris has been one heck of an addition for the Braves since they called him up. Good young player.
Oh, man. He is a tremendous talent. Him and who's the – I always forget the guy's name. The kid that they brought up who's pitching so well right now. The latest youngster who throws like 99. What's his name?
Strider?
Yeah, Spencer Strider.
Yeah.
My goodness. This shows you that they're still bringing in guys that weren't even part of their championship team. So all of the fortifying they did of the farm system, yep, where they sort of stepped back for 4 years. They went 4 years of pain. Now they're working on four straight division titles, and they had enough to trade to get Matt Olson. That's how rich they were to be able to do all that and still have a good farm system. And they have Matt Olson, who's younger. So it's sort of that double-edged sword. Everybody was so sad to lose Freddie Freeman from an emotional standpoint. But as Ken Rosenthal pointed out in his piece yesterday, they may long-term be in a better position with what happened. As sad as it was and as sure upset as Freddie Freeman was, they may be better off because of that. Still, that scenario still could be the scenario.
Well, and I love their depth pieces that they have. You know, with Ozzie Albies out right now, you know, they'll get him back later in the season. But Orlando Arcia has been, you know, a fine fill-in.
Great pickup.
And they have Phil Gosselin that is, you know, just a veteran, has been around for a long time, but a good utility guy that they had in the organization and could call up. Mike Ford, I don't know that much about him, but he's there as infielders right now. But then you have the Matt Olson, Austin Riley, Dansby looking for a new contract. So, I mean, they are set with depth right now. And
you know who represents Dansby Swanson? Same guy that Freddie Freeman just fired.
Yeah, well, Dansby might need to think about that.
Exactly.
All right, I think we're ready to set up our question of the day. So,
okay,
Willie, I'll turn it over to you.
All right, so be ready, guys. Here's the scenario. And this happened in real life. The where it happened is not really the point of the discussion, but this happened actually during the Ray Rice, and Derek remembers this well, and I'm sure he's got some strong emotions about this because I can remember him talking about this at the time. But the whole Ray Rice thing, remember there was a punishment that was laid out before the video came into public eye. And then there was, what do we do now that the video is out? the unfortunate situation, sad situation in the elevator with his girlfriend. And so Roger Goodell, he maintained all along that he didn't know the video was out there. And there were a lot of people that thought he saw the video or should have seen the video and, you know, was never thought it would become a public thing. So anyway, there's a big, big meeting that takes place. And it's late at night. A lot of people are there with Roger Goodell. They're figuring out what to do. And they order pizza. But Roger Goodell is so distraught, he won't eat pizza. He's too stressed to eat. So this is the MMQB podcast. Mm-hmm. And Connor Orr, who has come on with us a bunch of times, he's a great young analyst for the MMQB on Sports Illustrated. He recapped this story that I think was put in the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal. I can't remember, but here is the scenario. Listen to him narrate it.
They huddled in the night in an effort to figure out ways to prove the commissioner wasn't covering something up. They ordered pizza, but nobody ate it because they waited for Goodell to eat first. But Roger Goodell did not eat the pizza. So
that's a fantastic anecdote. I'm kind of jealous.
I know. You work your whole career to get something like that, you know, honestly.
Okay. So that's a real life scenario that a lot of us have been in. Okay. We're with the bosses. Okay. So put yourself, the suit can relate. D-Mace, I'm sure we've all been in something like that where you're kind of deferring to the authority in the room should get the first crack at the pizza. But the authority is too distraught for whatever reason to eat the pizza. So do you, sort of the underling, do you break the ice and grab the first slice? That's my question of the day.
If you were that person.
Okay, so Elijah is making no bones about it. He's diving in there. He doesn't care about Goodell or anything else. You're jumping in.
Well, this is what you do. Is say there's, 10, 15 people in the room. So they order 10 pizzas. Take one of the pizzas. You know what he likes. Takes one of the pizzas, put it in front of him, and then everybody else eat. That's the way you solve that. Seriously.
Okay.
You take the pizza that he likes, put it in front of him. Hey, Raj, this is yours. Show him what it has on there. Close it. And everybody else start eating.
Despite the intensity of the situation, you're hungry.
Yes.
And you're like, this is not happening. We're not going to let these pizzas just sit here uneaten. But apparently in this scenario, according to the story, nobody ate the pizza the whole night. Can you imagine that?
No, see, that's a crime.
Like, what was he going to do, scream at somebody because they started eating pizza?
I would have been like, I would just look around the room and just go, all right, Raj, screw you. Give me that.
Sir, I can't assist on a cover-up on an empty stomach.
Exactly. How do you expect for me to assist you on a cover-up if I can't even eat?
My brain is elsewhere. I'm too hungry to help you cover anything up, sir. I have to eat right now.
So how would you do it? Would you just go in and grab two slices and say, forget it? D-Mace has got an interesting strategy.
No, I just said I would give him one, give him a box of pizza.
You put a box in front of him.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you know he knows you're not taking it all, and then you just go to town on the rest of it.
Okay. So the question is, have you ever been in a situation where you are waiting on a higher up to start eating?
Yeah.
And so you're not the first one.
And you're deferring and you've decided not to go. Have you held back, even though you're hungry, you're like, man, I really want to get at this stuff.
You know, truly,
but I don't want to be the first guy.
Truly, we've all been in that situation because, you know, growing up, it's like, dad got to eat first, so we got to wait on dad to eat. We can't eat until dad eats. So.
I can give you my best example coming up next because I do have a similar situation, not to that level, but a similar situation. So we can do that coming up next as you listen to the DDC. But first, Willie, you're going to tell us about QC Kinetics.
All right, let's talk QC Kinetics. This is cutting edge stuff. Regenerative treatments, and the design is there's an alternative to some of the traditional ways that you take care of joint pain, right? We all know that surgery, steroids, pain meds, they've all got their strengths, but they've all got some question marks too. It may not be something that is really enticing to you. Maybe you've just tried to ride it out. with that shoulder pain, that hip pain, that back pain. But if you really want to do what you love to do, there's something you may not have considered, and that's QC Kinetics, the nation's leader in regenerative medicine. This is an advanced, exciting, natural alternative that can give you lasting relief using your body's own healing power. Steroids can be tough on the joints. Pain meds can be addictive. You don't like that idea. And really, nobody wants to go under the knife. So it's 2022. Check out these new ways. Regenerative medicine from QC Kinetics. They're right here in our listening area, and you can get a free medical consultation. They can address any pain in any joint and give you that quality of life that you're looking for, so you can get back on the golf course or back on the jogging trails, anything that you love to do. Call QC Kinetics, 615-249-4024, and get the free consultation. 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024 for QC Kinetics.
Little looks that kill, bringing us back here on the DDC. Motley Crue, of course, at Nissan Stadium later on tonight. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason, Willie Donick, Elijah Campbell on his last day with us here at 102.5, 106.3, The Game. And we will talk about that a little bit more later. But the question of the day, have you ever been in a situation where there is food, but you can't be the first one to jump in because you're waiting on the higher up to make the first move, so you don't look however you think you look?
Don't want to be that guy.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you. It depends on how hungry I am. If I'm hungry, because there are several layers to this, because if I get to a certain point, like yesterday is a prime example, I didn't eat before the show today either, so yeah, we're probably going to have the same result. By right after the show, I was hangry. I was getting very hangry. And so I knew that I needed to go and get something to eat. You know, and I have been in those situations where, okay, you're waiting and you're like having drinks and it's like, I just want food. Like, come on, just give me something that I can munch on. So the best example I have for you is a few months ago, I had just become program director and went to a dinner that was all the bosses. And our consultant was in town, Bud was there, and I'm starving. And we're going to a very, very nice restaurant that I'm sure both of you have been to. Going to a very, very nice restaurant. And so I'm sitting there, and in my head, you know, they put bread on the table, and I see that bread, and I'm like, man, I could eat the whole thing. I just want to dive in. But I don't. And so I kind of wait. And I'm like, I don't necessarily care if it's Bud or Dennis that, you know, takes it first. Uh-huh. Like, you know, there's
but somebody.
Somebody other than me, you know, being the new guy on the you know, as a suit. And it took a minute. And I was in my head, I'm like, come on, somebody take some bread. Come on, let's go. And then finally they did, and all was well. But that's the closest example that I can really think of. To what you're saying, to what we heard from the podcast and what you're saying, Willie.
I feel like I've been the person who has been, I think we've all been in that situation where you're like, I really want to be the first guy to dive in here, but I don't think it's appropriate for me to be the first guy to grab the first whatever, hamburger, piece of pizza, buffet line. It just can't be me. I can't be the first guy. I'm an outsider, you know, something like that. Or I'm a lowly employee. It's got to be the higher ups that go first.
I try not to be the first.
I'll tell you an example that happens a lot is the when I first started traveling with the Predators. Like you see all this great food like they put out on the plane. And your first instinct is, oh, let me just dive right in here and get this. And then you're like, wait a minute. How's that going to look with all these players if you know, yo-yo new broadcaster is just grabbing everything out of there. That would not be a good look. So I think I was like, I'm going to have to starve before I'm that guy. I'm just going to have to wait for all these guys to go through here first.
Don't you know they had like a whole bunch, even if you would have took the whole basket, they still had like 30 more baskets. You know, yeah. You know that, right?
You do find that out. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's just the perception, though. You don't want that one guy to say, did you see that guy? Who is this guy over here? You know, I've never even seen this guy before. He's on our plane. He's grabbing all that food. Come on, what are you doing?
Pecorine didn't get his basket because Willie got it.
Willie's in the back with the basket.
Where's Pecca's? Where's Pecca's food? Willie?
No, I get it. I get what you're saying. And I guess it just depends on, the situation, the setting. If the party's for this person or the gathering is for this particular person, you try to tend to wait for that person to, eat or grab a drink before you, grab your drink or whatnot. But if it's just, hey, we're putting it out, because I'm very particular. This is me. You will never see me at a party and just say people are bringing food. They have food set out. Either I'm going to be the first person to get it or I'm not getting it at all. Yeah. I'm not touching food because it's me and this. Once I see everybody else kind of get the food and they're picking over it and they're standing over and all that other stuff, I don't want no part of it. So I have
like a buffet.
The first person, one of the first people. I can't.
So you don't like getting to the buffet after it's already been sort of hammered.
I will not
everybody.
Touch it.
Okay.
Will not. I just starve. I won't eat. I just starve.
Ooh, that's an interesting wrinkle. Yeah,
that's interesting.
Yeah. So I'm typically.
I know that feeling. I
try to be the first person.
Too old and it's been out for too long. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I got to be really hungry.
So yeah.
To go for that.
Yeah. So I mean. That is a situation to be in. Like you're waiting for that person, whether it be the boss or whatnot, to eat first, and they're just sitting there and they're talking,
right,
or whatnot, and you're like, man, please, can you just please grab something?
Now I will say this: there is one situation where I think it's just everyone for themselves, and you don't wait on the people that this event is for, and that's weddings. Yeah. Because if you do that, you're not going to eat. Because the bride and groom have so much crap going on.
They may not eat.
That they may not eat. Now
I didn't eat mine. I can tell you that right now.
Okay, I learned a pro tip at Ryan Porst's wedding. Mm-hmm. He said that they, and he got this from somebody else we know, Braden Gall, when he got married, that they built in, they all got to the reception. We all got to the reception, doing pictures and everything. And they basically, the caterers had Amanda and Ryan's dinner ready for them in like a separate room away from everyone. And they got shoved in there. So they had like 10 minutes to eat before all the stuff got started.
Exactly.
And so while we're all eating, while everybody else is eating, they can walk around and,
take pictures and do whatever they want to
shake hands and kiss babies and all that stuff. And I've remembered that is a pro tip.
There you go.
So I think that's a veteran move. Craig on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I don't care. Once y'all say the prayer or say food is ready, I'm hungry. I'm eating.
I don't blame them.
Green light.
Hey. Let's go.
Another texter says, you grab a plate and offer a piece to the head man. If he says yay, give it to him. If he says nay, you take it.
That's a good tactic. You actually bring him a slice and say, here you go. Raj, what? You look like you need some pizza. I just can't do it. I can't do it, Chase.
Well,
okay. I decided. Go ahead, though. Go ahead, Chase. There you go. Thanks a lot, Raj.
No, he wouldn't even have to say go ahead. I'd be like, all right, cool. I'm housing this thing right now.
That's why you set the box of pizza in front of him. Like, this is your pizza. Close it back up, and then everybody else, let's go.
Now, even if it was like a super intense situation like that was, apparently, would that affect your decision at all rather than like a wedding or just like your normal business meeting?
No, because if I get hungry, I can't think. So, for me to be effective and do my job, I would need to eat. I mean, I'm just like, all right, well, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to eat.
I don't think he would fault you for that, Willie.
No.
Raj wouldn't fault you for that.
Raj wouldn't? Yeah, okay. No. He seems like a reasonable
guy. Just don't eat all the pepperoni pizza. Save a few slices.
Just don't take his favorite. Take his favorite one.
Just
work
tell him.
Of a
just give him a box of pizza. Tell him go sit in his chair in his man cave, and he'll be all right.
Absolutely. See, there you go.
He'll be good. All right, good stuff. Continue to weigh in on that, 615-737-1025 on our phone or text line. Also, you can tweet at us at 1025 the game. Listen for the casino sounder today through tomorrow, and when you hear it, text Bally, B-A-L-L-Y, to 615-737-1025 and be qualified to play the grand prize roulette wheel. All qualifiers will receive a number on the wheel, and the winner will be revealed during the noon hour tomorrow with DDC. The winner will then have 10 minutes and 25 seconds to call to win the grand prize, which is a summertime casino getaway to Bally's Evansville. You must be 21 to enter. Official rules and more information at thegamenashville.com/Bally. Tim Brando coming up at the top of the next hour. Welcome back into the DDC. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Elijah Campbell with you. Johnny Gaudreau, Johnny Hockey. Where is he going to play next? As we continue to talk about Philip Forsberg here with the Nashville Predators, Johnny Hockey and the Calgary Flames are in the same situation. Is he going to return to Calgary? Again, they would like to keep him. He's enjoyed his time there. But how is it ultimately going to work out? I look at him, Willie, as probably anywhere from 9 to 10 and a half million, somewhere in there. As an annual average, you agree with that?
To me, that's a little high based on what he has done.
He's a point-per-game player, though.
He is. And so Haley Salvian of The Athletic, that's kind of the range that she put in there. He's been making 6.75. And so that's higher than what Philip Forsberg has been making, which is 6. He is, I think, 1 year older than Philip Forsberg. So that's another philosophical question is, are you paying for what you're going to get going forward, which you should be, or do you have to figure in I'm paying for what he has been throughout his career so far? Calgary is a little more cash strapped in the cap than the Predators are. The Predators have a little bit more space than the Flames. The Flames have another major pressing need, and that is to re-sign Matthew Tkachuk, who's a restricted free agent. He's only 24. But it's a very interesting comparison. Gaudreau and Forsberg, who are easily the two most skilled guys that could hit the unrestricted free agent market. They're both left wings. But Gaudreau has been the far more productive player in terms of overall points. So I do think it's a really good parallel to watch. And right now, and this is something we'll ask Elliot at 1 o'clock, what kind of progress are the Flames making on trying to keep Johnny Gaudreau in the fray, especially while you're doing that, at the same time trying to figure out how to keep Matthew Tkachuk around?
So this article in The Athletic lays out 5 teams that could be a good fit for Johnny Gaudreau if he were to leave the Calgary Flames.
Right. And so here's the question for you, Derek. Would you agree that if these are 5 teams that might fit for Johnny Gaudreau, you could argue that the same 5 teams might be the ones that would also be interested in Philip Forsberg because of what you said earlier? If you're Johnny Gaudreau or you're Philip Forsberg, you want to go to a team where you think you're going to win, right? You're not just going to go to somewhere that is going to be a loser just to take the most money. Most people don't do that, right? You want both. You want to get paid, but you also want to go to a place you can win. Mm-hmm. Fair enough?
No, you're right.
Well, here's what's interesting, and so we'll go through these teams because I would say, you know, some of these teams are not necessarily in that you can go there and win right now category. Now, adding him would certainly help that, but the first on the list is the Philadelphia Flyers. We know the Flyers are going through a lot of changes. They just brought in John Tortorella to be their head coach. John Tortorella, similar style to what Johnny Hockey had this year, but how quickly can he turn it around? And how much does Johnny Gaudreau help if Chuck Fletcher is able to bring him into Philadelphia?
And this is the kicker for the Flyers, is that Johnny Gaudreau is from South Jersey, which might as well be Philadelphia. And his dad has been a longtime local coach in that area. So you've got that going for you if you're Philly. But now, D-Mace, I'm trying to put myself in your shoes the way you put it. Now, Philadelphia, that's a place where you want to win, right? Philadelphia is one of those cities where it's not acceptable to say, you know, we're going to take the next 5 years.
Yeah, you can't do that.
And we're going to rebuild. You just really don't do that. Now, the 76ers did it, right? And they paid a tremendous price. And they're still trying to figure out how to put it all together. Mm-hmm. But they're definitely relevant. Philly was the Flyers were bad last year. They've been trying to rework it and not have to dive into a rebuild, but they're struggling to do it. So I don't know that him going there is going to be what they need to win. But I do think that's a team that is looking to make a splash and looking to rebound without rebuilding.
Yeah.
So how would you feel? Like, Derek, how would you feel if you're Gaudreau or Forsberg and you look at the Flyers in that situation? Big market, mm-hmm. a lot of tradition, but they've had all kinds of problems, but you know they're going to stop at nothing to try to compete.
Well, that would be if a team has shown you, it's sort of like, this is why I believe people like going to Dallas, the Cowboys. Why? Because Jerry Jones, even though he has not won a championship in the last two decades, it's not because he's not trying to win one. He spends the money to try to win a championship. So he's going to continue to get those players. Why? Because the players in their mind, as much as everybody else may dislike Jerry Jones, players in free agency look at the Dallas Cowboys and they say, you know what? At least Jerry Jones is trying to win. He's paying the money to try to get guys to come in there. That could possibly be the same way with the Flyers.
Oh, man. Yeah. I think that is a great example.
That's a great comparison.
But that's the thing. Mm-hmm. The Flyers and the Cowboys really haven't won. The Cowboys haven't won anything.
Yeah.
And the Flyers have had flickers here and there. But since the Broad Street Bullies with Terry Crisp, they have not ever won it. They've been to the finals a couple times, but we're talking about 40 years.
Right.
They've been a winner here and there, but they have not won a championship.
Okay.
All right. So
quickly, I'm going to read the other teams because there's one on this list we definitely need to talk about.
Yes, we do.
So the Pittsburgh Penguins is another one, but a lot of that is contingent on what Malkin and Chris Letang.
Yeah, I don't see that. I was surprised she put that one on there.
The New Jersey Devils, which
that's
that
an interesting
sense.
One.
And the Devils are in an interesting place right now with Tom Fitzgerald, their general manager. They have a lot of young talent.
Mm-hmm.
Adding Gaudreau to me would be a really good move.
Oh, yes.
Because I think that elevates them.
They've got the money. And D-Mace, I would put the Devils kind of like the L.A. Kings, that they've done the dirty work mm-hmm. in their rebuild. They've got the young players that they are really projecting to be very good. They're not ready to win yet, but they need that extra veteran to go with it. Gaudreau would be a great addition to them. Now, that's not it's New Jersey is kind of the third wheel. You know, they're Newark. They're not right in the heart of New York, but I think that's a really interesting one. Of course, and he's from South Jersey. There's a lot to like about that one.
And then the New York Islanders, which, you know, who knows what Lou Lamoriello is going to do. But
he's always a wild card.
He is very much a wild card. And then the fifth
team. What is the last team on the list there, Chase?
The Nashville Predators.
Hmm.
And she starts it out, you know, basically talking about where they're at. She has a quote in here. Poile also has said he's not interested in leveraging the team's $24 million in cap space to take on bad contracts for future assets. I'd rather put that money into desirable players, he said during Nashville's end-of-season media availability. And I remember when he said that you know, he didn't spend to the cap last year because he didn't think it was the right time to do that. If he can get the right players, he's willing to do that. Now, the question is, can you re-sign Forsberg for, let's say, 8.25, 8.5,
mm-hmm.
and then get Gaudreau for likely 9.5, somewhere Ooh. In that range, and have, once again, long-term deals mm-hmm. for two players that you're going to add with Duchesne, Josi, and Johansson?
I mean, if you do it, it signals to the fan base that you are committed to winning a Stanley Cup. If you do that, it shows the NHL world that you're committed to winning a Stanley Cup. Not just winning, but winning a Stanley Cup.
But if you make both of those moves, you're not really going to be able to address the defense, which
anything
I think
else.
You need to address the defense.
Okay, I'm gonna throw this at you. And I'm just saying, I know they don't have the same caliber players, but did Avalanche play any defense?
Really? Some would say they actually did because
they played enough.
They had the puck so much.
Exactly.
they kept it away from you, so they didn't have to play that much defense.
Absolutely.
That's one way to win.
Outscored everybody.
But they did. And so this is – a lot of people have asked this question. Could you find a way to get Forsberg and Gaudreau? To me, that would be a little rich. Now,
well, you better sign Forsberg first. If you lose Forsberg, that would be more than Forsberg.
If you lose Forsberg, then...
Then you could be in on Gaudreau, in theory. You could be in on Gaudreau, which probably would cost you more, right? And you get him for less years, and he's a little bit older. Even though he has been probably the better player over the length of his career so far. He's a very unique guy, Gaudreau. A couple years ago, they were ready to run him out of Calgary. Now they're like, oh, man, is there any way we can save face and keep him here? It's a really interesting thought. But take the $9 million. Let's say you think it's $9 million for Gaudreau. What's best, to have Gaudreau at $9 million or have a $5 million guy and a $4 million guy or three $3 million players? What's the best way to address your needs as a team?
That's what you got to figure out. I mean, yeah. I think ultimately I would rather have Forsberg or Gaudreau and then get some of those depth pieces.
Take the money and spread it around.
Because you got to address the defense. That's the thing. You just have to.
If you're talking about winning a championship, give me Forsberg and Gaudreau. I'll deal with that other stuff later. I'll deal with that other stuff later.
You trust. I mean, look, you have Saros, so you trust him, yeah, obviously.
And then the fans can never say you did not go for
it. Oh, they would. They'd find a way.
Yeah, you're right about that.
All right, coming up next, we're going to talk to Tim Brando. I told Elijah, I said, hey, book one of your favorite guests of all time for noon, and he went with Timmy B. We'll see if the iron is going to be kind or not when we talk to him next as you listen to the DDC, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, and the Game Nashville app.